All right, Shabbos, say good morning, a good tavach. Baruch Hashem, what a schus to be able to begin another week of Kiddushin. Together, begin by thanking all of our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan. Shari and Sarah Wolaski in the schus of Refuah Shalema. For Zechariah Dov Ben Perel Shira, we also wish the Wolaskis a Mazel Tov on the birth of another grandson. Baruch Hashem in Eretz Yisrael and Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Mazel Tov, or it might have been Shabbos already. In Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, Mazel Tov. Shebizocha lachniso barviso sha'ar ma'avino bizmano. We also thank Stephen Terry Zinn for dedicating Ovid Sherman Drushos this month in memory of Steve's father, Bunim Tzvi Ben Chaim. Leah Sol as a schos refuah shalema for her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther, and for refuah shalema for all of those wounded in Eretz Yisrael. Yonason and Rachel Wolf for a complete and lasting refuah for Rafael Yitzchak Baruch Ben Esther, and Azriel and Iris Miller in the schos of the Holy Soldiers of the IDF, and the merit of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. Our week of learning sponsors, Robert Imas, in honor of the yahrzeit of his mother, Rus Bas Sora, and in appreciation for the entire Daf Yomi Shir. Another week of learning sponsor, again an anonymous sponsor, in honor of Yoni Frager's birthday. Mamish, I don't know, this is like... Apparently, Yoni Frager and the Queen of England are two people who celebrate their birthdays for prolonged amounts of time. Baruch Hashem, this is the jubilee year for Yoni. Baruch Hashem, Mazel Tov, Esim Shanim Tovos. Incredible. All right, Javos, with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Ayin. We are picking up Emir Hashem on the first line of Ayin. Geiri Vecharuri. So, Javos, remember again, yesterday, we started a very exciting karek. The very exciting parak of Asar Yochsin. And remember again, Asar Yochsin, what we're primarily focused is on the 10 genealogical classes and the idea that when Ezra came back to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, he took with him all of the people with genealogical issues. The logic behind that was he was concerned that if he left them behind in Babel, what would end up happening? They would end up, quote-unquote, intermarrying with everyone else, causing profound genealogical issues. This way, if you brought them back to Eretz Yisrael with them, Eretz Yisrael had an established network of Bat Din, of courts, they had Rabbanim there, and Ezra himself would be able to oversee that these families, again, while functioning absolutely as part of the Jewish community, they would be care and concern over who they married. So the Gemara will continue to go through this. Geri Becharuri. So ultimately, again, Geri Becharuri, from where do we know? From where do we know that these individuals... Ultimately, again, Kimas, remember, Geri are converts, Charuri are emancipated slaves. So remember, again, emancipated Evikinati becomes a Jew. So how do I know these groups? Fine, Mamzeri, Mamzerim also came, Minalon, Dixiv. It's actually very interesting. Vayishma Sanballat HaCharoni, Vitoviah HaEved HaAmoni. So Pasuk says that this guy Sanballat HaCharoni, and Tovia, David Hamoni, who was a slave, Uksiv, can emancipate a slave, Kirabim beYehuda Baali Shvua Lo. There are many people in Yehuda who were aligned with this guy Tovia. So the Gemara says, Ki Chasan Hu L'Shechanya Ben Arach, because he was a son-in-law, ultimately again, to Shechanya Ben Arach, V'Yehochanan Bino Lakach as Bas Meshulam Ben Brachya, and his son, or his Tovia's son, Yehochanan, married another Jewish girl. The Gemara says, this whole issue over here is this guy Tovia was an Eved, an emancipated Eved, right? And Halacha Lamaisa, he went ahead and he had children. So the Gemara says, Kasavra Ovid Kochavim Ve'Eved Haba Albas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. So apparently the opinion over here holds that an Ovid Kochavim, a non-Jew, or an Eved who has a child with a Jewish woman, the offspring of that union is a mamzer. So therefore, the assumption is over here that Tovia, who was an Eved before he became Ezra, Tovia was an Eved, fathered children with a Jewish woman, and ultimately, again, the children were mamzerim. Now, they are included in the group that was coming up with Ezra. So from here, you see that halacha lemaisa mamzerim came up also with Ezra. So Mar says, one second. Hani chalman damar havlad mamzer. So first of all, not everybody holds that when an Eved has a child with a Jewish woman, that child becomes a mamzer. So that's number one. That particular point is subject to machlokes. So again, remember, you're basing this entire discussion over here over the fact that this guy, Tovia, had children with a Jewish woman, they're mamzerim, and they're included in the tally with Ezra. So first of all, it only works if you hold that a Jewish woman who has a child with an Eved is a mamzer. But what about if you hold the Vlad is kosher? First of all, how do you know those kids are from a Jewish woman? Maybe those kids aren't from a Jewish woman. In other words, we're from Mehecha Teisa, they're from a Jewish woman. So the Gemara says, furthermore, how do you know we had these kids in Babel and they came to Eretz Yisrael? Maybe actually had these kids ultimately in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, multiple questions on this proof. Therefore, Alamiyacha, right? The Gemara says, you're right. But remember again, we're just trying to figure out, we're just constantly trying to prove how do we know these different classes came with Ezra. So right, so ultimately again, so far we have Geri Becharuri, right? So again, converts and emancipated slaves, the Chalanibdam Itumas Garez Aleihem, whoever was separated again from the impure classes ultimately came with Ezra. Now from Mamzerim, how do we know? So the Gemara says, Gemara gives a different source. Alami Hacha, Ve'ela Ha'olim Mitel Melach, Tel Charsha, Kruv Adon. Va'amru, Ve'lo Yochola Hagid Beis Avosa Bezaram, Im Misrael. So Rabbi say, the Gemara here quotes the Pasuk from Ezra. That's Im Misraelim, sorry. So listen to the way the Pasuk reads. These are the people who came up with Ezra. Rabbi say, now presumably, these are places, these are locations. Tel Melach, Tel Charsha, Kruv Adon. Now, what was unique about all of the residents of all these places? They were unable to go ahead and say with any level of certainty that who their Beis Avosam, who their father's home, what family did they come from, and whether or not they were truly part of Klal Yisrael. So this seems to be the indication. Now the Gemara is using this as a proof for Mamzerim, right? That ultimately Mamzerim came up. So again, in this grouping, you have these individuals who were unable to go ahead and ascertain the legitimacy of their familial lines. Okay, so we'll say now the Gemara darshens this pasuk. This is incredible. Now we'll say, here's the problem. What's the problem? The pasuk doesn't talk about mamzerim, right? Remember again, the pasuk talks about people who were unable to go ahead and say which family they came from, and if they were even from Klal Yisrael. Now, certainly a genealogical issue, but how is that mamzeros? It's actually very important. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, you're right. The names of places, but rather, they're descriptive, ultimately, again, of different genealogical issues. Watch this. Tel Melach. What does it mean, Tel Melach? What does that refer to? Elu b'nei Adam shedomim maseyem lemaasei sdom shenepcha letel Melach. We'll say Tel Melach are people who came from families whose actions resembled the people of Sdom, and Sdom was turned into a pillar of salt. That was, and what was unique about the people of Sdom? So Rashi says over here, Shahayu Megali Arayas. Remember, Sdom was known to be very immoral. So we'll say, who are the people who came from Tel Melach? These are the people who were the result of immoral unions. Mamzerim. It calls it Tel Melach because, again, their genealogy resembled the behaviors of the people who lived in the place that was turned into salt, i.e. stone. I'll say the sixth parasha, incredible. Remember again, in this week, Aram Avinu argues for stone. Next, Tel Charsha, what's Charsha? So the Gemara says, Zeshe Kori Abba V'Imo Meshasko. So we'll say, remember again, this is, Tel Charsha refers, Cherish is like to silence. So this refers to people that when they start calling someone dad, their mother says, shh. That's a shtickle awkward, right? Shtickle awkward, but right? That's not your father, right? So I'll say, so Lamaisa, again, these are all talking about people whose genealogy ultimately is compromised. Next, and they were unable to say the house of their father, in other words, what family they come from, or whether or not they were even truly Jewish. Zehu asufi shene'esaf min ashok. I will say this refers to the asufi. What's an asufi? Asufi is not a child that's abandoned. Now someone else, Baruch Hashem, collects the child. Right? So now the child is raised, but we don't know the origin of the child. That's an asufi. Shavuot says, it's actually incredible. So this pasuk, by the way, I just want to point out, the Gemara quoted this pasuk to prove that Mamzerim came up with Ezra. But in fact, if you look at this, the profundity of this pasuk, I will say, is what? The profundity is that Lamaisa, everyone is included in this pasuk. In other words, you see from this one pasuk that everyone with some type of genealogical issue ultimately came up with Ezra. Incredible. And I will say, now the one part that Gemara didn't explain was Kruv Adon. What does that mean, Kruv Adon? It was incredible. So the Gemara says, Va'amar, Amrabi Avau, Amar Adon, the master said, Ani Amarti Yisrael Lefanei Chashubim Kekruv. It's such a beautiful Gemara. So Kruv Adon Amar, Va'amar, what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want the Klal Yisrael to be as precious to me as the Kruvim. Remember again, the Kruvim are the two childlike images perched on top of the Aron, inside of the Holy of Holies, inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I wanted my children to be as precious as a kruv, the heim samu atzman kinamar, and they made themselves like a leopard. Yeah, but say, apparently the leopard is incredibly immoral. Rashi says over here, kinamar. Well, first of all, look at kruv, kidoshim kikruv yakodesh, kechayos akodesh teksiv bei pnei akruv, kinamar, kechayazu she'ina makpedes bezug chaverta. Apparently, again, the leopard mates with anyone. Mates with anyone. So it's a little bit of a play on words over here. So the play on words is. So it's Kruv Adon V'Imer. So the Gemara is actually the Kruv Adon V'Imer. So the Gemara dashes the pasuk is I. So right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Adon said. Right, the Adon Imer said, I wanted my children to be as holy as Kruvim. But what did my children do? The children became, it's a play on words of the V'Imer, V'Namar. Right, ultimately, again, my children made themselves as depraved as the leopard. I will say, it's such a profound pasuk, and it certainly resonates, especially in these parashios of Bereishis and Noach, where the most tragic element of these parashos is not simply, again, you know, the loss of potential. It's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has such high expectations for us, right? Such great goals for us. And yet at the end of the day, we simply did not come through. We still did not come through. There is nothing more profound, nothing more tragic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets us up for success, and yet again we squander the opportunity. Incredible. The Gemara gives Ikadami another possibility. Is Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Adon, the master said, Afapi Shesamu Asman Kinamer, Hin Chashuvin Lafanei Kikruv. So say I like the second interpretation better. Right? The second interpretation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though, right, Amar Adon, right, so Amar Adon, even though you made yourself ultimately again like the Namar, like the leopard, even though you made yourself immoral, even though you squandered your opportunities, you did not live up to your potential, nevertheless, I still see you like the Kruvim. I still see you like the Chavs. And Rabbi say, so the beautiful part of our relationship with Baruch Hu, say, is often in human relationships, we only see each other for what we are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to see us for what we can become. And therefore, even in those most compromised moments where literally all I do is I look like a leopard. Like, in other words, I'm immoral, I'm doing negative things, not behaving, not living up to my potential. That Ribono Shel Olam sees the kruv, he sees the cherub in me. You want to say, isn't that absolutely beautiful? And by the way, they're both correct. Both drushas are correct. In other words, there is no greater pain in this universe than when we don't live up to our potential. And who does it pain more than anyone? The Ribono Shel Olam. He sees that I could be a kruv, but instead of behaving like a namar, like a leopard. But the other side is true also. Even when I behave like a namar, even when I'm just not living the life I need to be living, the Ribono Shel Olam still sees the kruv inside of me. That is the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why tshuva is possible. Why is tshuva possible? Why is tshuva possible? Right? At the end of the day, the world works with a system of cause and effect. Try tshuva in any other area of life, right? You get a speeding ticket, you go ahead and you go to court, you say, you know what, I'm really sorry. Really sorry. Presumably, I guess maybe if you get a very nice judge, maybe it could work, right? But Lamaisa doesn't work. It's cause and effect. It's cause and effect. Why does tshuva work? This is it. Because the Ribono Shel Olam sees the kruv inside of me that's still there, even when I've totally compromised my standing. Such an incredible Gemara. Let's go back there. Amar Rabbi Arachana. Let's say a very interesting Gemara here. These are all the whole day's incredible Gemara. If a man marries a woman who is not fit for him. Now what are we referring to over here? Now remember, we're talking about, again, genealogy. In other words, this is a shidduch that is genealogically inappropriate. Right? So it's talking about, you might remember, we paskin that kiddushin tovsin b'chayve lavin. Right? We not like Rabbi Akiva. So if a man marries someone who is prohibited to him by a lav, the marriage works. Now, again, it won't work, obviously, with an Isra Misa, Chiyav Kari. So a man tries to marry his sister, a man tries to marry another man's wife. A man wants to marry a Mamzeres. Okay? Bad, right? Not allowed to, but it works. A Kohen wants to marry a Grusha. It works. These marriages work. So the Gemara says, any man who marries a woman, although the marriage works, She'en Hogen Eslo, listen to this, Ma'alava alava kasav kilu charsha l'chala olam kulo v'zaro melach. It's as if he has gone ahead and literally plowed over the entire world, so ruined the world, and seeded the soil with salt. In other words, plowing over the entire world and destroying it is bad enough. When you seed the soil with salt, what do you do? What do you do? You prevent anything from growing there afterwards. In incredible Shina Emar, the pasuk says, "Ve'ila ha'olim mitel melach tel charsha." So the Gemara says, now the idea over here is, so quote the pasuk Shina Emar, "Ve'ila ha'olim mitel melach." These are the people who came up from tel melach. In other words, tel charsha. So we'll say it's linking the two. So again, it's the opposite order, right? Those who went ahead and literally destroyed the world, plowed over the world. Also put salt in the soil. Was that the idea being that when a person marries someone who they're not supposed to marry, remember what it does is it corrupts the future familial lines of Klal Yisrael. So you are, it's not just, so you want to say, the incredible yisod is that sometimes in life we think that we're making decisions that just impact us, but they're not just impacting us. Often the decisions we make specifically in family life have a dramatic impact going forward, potentially for many generations. Amar Rav, Kalanose Ish the Shumamon. That's incredible. Somebody marries for money. Havin lo banim shena mehuganin. He's going to have unworthy children. Shene emar, Bashem bagdu, ki banim zarim yaladu. Veshemar tomar mamon palat. You'll say, okay, the kids will be unworthy. Hey, but at least they'll have money, right? In other words, okay, so kids don't, right? Kids, often you don't know how your kids are going to turn out. So, right, so at least they'll have money. So the Gemara says, Tamul Omer, Ata Yochlem Chadosh Es Chalkeyem. No, the money goes away also. V'shema Tomer Chalko V'lo Chalko. Maybe you'll say only your portion of the money goes away, but the wife's portion remains. Tamul Omer Chalkeyem. Ultimately, again, their portions. V'shema Tomer Lizman Meruba. Maybe you'll say, okay, but maybe the money won't disappear for a long time. You'll be able to hold on to money for some point. Tamal Omar, Chodesh, or Chodesh. My Mashma, how do we see this? Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Chodesh Nichnas, the Chodesh Yetzei, Umamonam Avad. Ultimately, again, the month comes, the month goes, and all of the money is gone. So Rabbi says, so really an incredible, incredible idea. Now, I just want to point out, the actual taicha of the pasuk is Bashem Bagdu, they rebelled against Hashem, Ki Banim Zorim Yaladu. They birthed foreign children. Ata yochleim chodesh es chalkeim. Therefore, again, the officers, chodesh means the officers, will consume their portion. So the Gemara is saying, so the Gemara's understanding over here, this refers to someone who goes ahead and marries for money. So number one result of marrying for money is unworthy offspring. That's the banim zarim, alien children. Not only that, but you lose all of your money as well. Not only that, but you lose all of your money ultimately, again, in a very short amount of time. I will say, just want to point out, at least the children piece, it's not a punishment, it's a cause and effect. It's a cause and effect. If at the end of the day, you're the kind of person who marries for money, right? If that's your motivation, chances are, you are not going to be a good and inspired parent. Because at the end of the day, your value system is fundamentally and totally warped. Well, if your value system is totally and fundamentally warped, then there's no way you're going to model the right values and right ideals for a child. So it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment. I mean, the second part is a punishment about losing your wealth. But the first part about a person who marries for money having unworthy children, unfortunately, the children are just going to mirror your own value system. And being that your value system, in this case, ultimately is
totally wrong. So chas v'shalom, unfortunately, that'll show up in the children as well. Plus, it's also just an incredible yisod. However we recognize it or not, our value system, is very clear to our children. Also, we've mentioned this many times. It matters very little what you say to your children, right? 95% of the stuff you say to your kids is going to go in one ear and go out the other. Just think about what you remember, what your own parents said. You know, sometimes whatever you remember, my parents always used to say this, always used to say that. Share very little. Children remember very little of what their parents say, but remember virtually everything that their parents do. Your children will always remember how you acted under stress. Your parents will always remember if you argued with your spouse or not and how you argued with your spouse. Those are the things that they're always going to remember. Just like, again, they'll always remember. If you go to shul in the morning, they're always going to remember. If you go to shir, they're always going to remember what you spoke about at the Shabbos table. I say big things that we take for granted, but those are the things that our kids remember, right? The talk you had with your kid when you sat them down and like told them the business thing, they're like, is this over yet? Right? They're rolling their eyes, even if not literally rolling their eyes, metaphorically rolling their eyes. Those are not the lessons they're going to remember, but how you live your life, how you run your home, how you conduct yourself, those are the things absolutely that they remember. They're not supposed to say. So I just want to point out, even little things, and like today, if you're at the table and you're on your phone, if you're spending time with them and you're on your phone, if you're in shul and you're on your phone and your kids are next to you, let's say, I just want to understand, what you are actively doing is diminishing the importance of tefillah in the eyes of your children. Yeah, pick it up. Hey, dad's on the phone during Chazaras Hashatz or during Kriya Shema. It depends on the person, right? You know. Again, dad's on the phone, right? It's got to be. I look up to my father, and my father's a good person. So if he's doing this, it must be fine, as Rabbi say. Every day, we convey chinuch lessons to our children through everything that we do. We have to be careful sometimes, and that's why sometimes even as a parent, you have to hold yourself to a higher standard when your kids are around. A lot of parents, a lot of us have a double standard. There's a way that I live with my kids are watching, and there's a way that I live with my kids aren't watching. It's a little disingenuous, but it's okay. It's okay. It's good to hold oneself to that highest standard when the kids are watching, because that's where chinuch occurs. All right, well, says goodbye. The Gemara says, if a man marries a woman, ultimately, again, who's not, again, I will say, these are cases where there's flawed genealogical issues. But he marries her anyway. So what happens? Well, it's incredible. Eliyahu kofso, v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotso. We'll say this is wild. Eliyahu HaNavi ties him up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu flogs him. That's what happens. The Gemara says, v'tano, al kulam Eliyahu kosi v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu kosim. In all these cases, ultimately, again, Eliyahu records what has happened over here, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs it. What does Eliyahu write? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu sign? I lo leposel es zaro, u lepogim es mishpachto, u leno se isha she'ena hogen eslo. The Eliyahu kofso, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote. So we'll say that's what's recorded in the document over here. That's literally what's written, right? That if you marry a woman who is not genealogically fit for you, and I will say, by the way, we're framing this in the man to the woman, but the truth is, remember again, it goes both ways. A man can't marry a woman who's genealogically unfit, and a woman, the issue, the severity is on both of them. So the Gemara says, not only does Eliyahu tie you up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu flogs you, obviously metaphorically, but this whole transgression, this whole thing, is recorded in a document. Now, what's the pshat? What's the pshat with this? That Eliyahu HaNavi is, again, so we'll say, so just you plug in the case, whatever the case is, but Eliyahu HaNavi is tying you up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is administering lashes? What, like, what's it sort of point out? It doesn't say that, like, if a person eats non-kosher food, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, Eliyahu is tying him up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is flogging him. Person is Mechal Shabbos. Eliyahu is tying him up, and HaKadosh, I don't know, like, it doesn't, you never find this by any other Avera. And yet, again, over here, by marrying someone you're not supposed to marry, so the Eliyahu HaNavi is involved, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, what's the pshat? So let's say, I saw an incredibly, incredibly beautiful idea brought down in the name of the Maggid of Mezrich. So let's say, listen to this. He quotes over here, the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. Listen to this. The Gemara says, She'ein ben David ba, so Rabbi said, the idea is There's a chamber in Shamayim called the Guf. That's the name of the chamber. That chamber houses all of the souls. So Mashiach only comes when that chamber is emptied out and all of the souls are born into this world. That's the way that it works. So we'll say, so the Magid of Mezrich quotes, based on the Mekubalim, he quotes, that ultimately, again, those neshamas want to come into this world, but they only want to come, the Rebbe writes, into gufim tahorim, into pure bodies. What's the definition of a pure body? A child born of a halachically sanctioned union. So what happens? When a person ultimately marries someone who he's not supposed to, right? And therefore, halacha lemaisa, the neshama doesn't want to come down. The neshama doesn't want to come down. Because the neshama doesn't want to come down, therefore what happens? It delays the geula. So if you're delaying the geula, you know who gets involved? Eliyahu HaNavi. Because Eliyahu HaNavi, right? Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem. Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who announces the arrival of Mashiach. So if a person marries someone he's not supposed to marry, the neshama doesn't want to come out of the guf, out of the chamber of the guf. If the neshama doesn't come down, then the entire geula is delayed. And if the geula is late, Eliyahu HaNavi is upset, the Ribono Shel Olam is upset, and that's why everyone is getting involved. Incredible. Incredible, incredible. So we'll say the Gemara goes aiter. So the Gemara says, good. V'chala posel, posel. We'll say anyone who invalidates others, ultimately, again, is posel himself. We'll say, so we're going to see this in just a little bit. Rashi says over here, kala posel, negadef taver es hamishpachos, hu atzmo posel, veinu medarbish shivchali olam, in darko shal posel, darbish, oh, I'm sorry, let me finish. V'chala posel, posel. We'll say anyone who himself is genealogically invalidated, often goes around invalidating others. And anyone who's constantly going around and invalidating others never sees anything good in this world. Now, I'll say there's a lot that's packed into this statement. So first of all, this concept that anyone who goes around genealogically invalidating other people himself is genealogically invalid. In other words, somebody who's always posseling other people, usually himself has a psul. Has a psul. But Shabbos, we know this. And people who go around seeing the negative in everyone and everything generally are broken people. Are broken people. Your broken kite projects itself onto others. And so there's two parts over here. If you see that which is broken in every other person, generally, you're broken yourself. And if you see everything that's broken in the world, generally, again, it's because you're broken as well. In other words, I will say, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh writes this idea that the world is your mirror. The world is your mirror. Other people are your mirror. So whatever you see broken in someone else, generally, is a reflection of that which is broken in you. Anything you see broken in the world, generally, is reflective of that which is broken in us. Incredible, incredible yisod. So the Gemara goes down. Avamr Shmuel, b'mumo posel. But not only that, when a person is always invalidating others, so lemaisa, again, lemaisa is very important, lemaisa, the mum that they see in everyone else is generally the very mum that they see in themselves. So this is so important. You know, often in life we get angry at people because of things that they did, right? Or ways in which they behave. And I will say, when you see someone behave in an inappropriate way, It's important to kind of go ahead and take a step back and to see if I'm saying this, is this reflective of something that's in me also? Reflective of something that's inside of me? Is there something else at play? Again, it doesn't absolve the other of the negative things that they have done, but lamaisa, to operate, like the Baal Shem Tov says, to operate with the yisod that the world is my mirror. And everything negative I see in someone else and in the world often could be a window into that which is broken inside of me. Okay, the Gemara goes weiter. Hogavra, what's a great story. Hogavra, there was a guy, that's his name, guy, right, from Narda, who came to the butcher shop in Pumpadisa. All right, so he lived in Narda, he came to the butcher in Pumpadisa. Amar lahu, havilu bisra, walks up to the counter, he says, I'd like to order some meat. Okay, so far so good. Amrlei, Natar ad the shakel shamid Rabbi Yehuda bar Yechezkel v'nei sevlach. So the butcher said, no problem. There's one person in front of you, right? The shaliach of Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. So Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel sent his guy to go ahead and purchase meat. So the butcher, again, we'll say, so far, totally regular exchange. Nothing special happening over here. Amar, man Yehuda Bar Sheviskel, the kadimli, the shakel min kamoi. So the guy becomes incensed. He says, who is this guy Yehuda Ben Sheviskel? And I will say, it was Rav Yehuda Ben Yecheskel. So this individual was disparaging Rabbi Yehuda, calling him Sheviskel. Rabbi said, now what's Sheviskel? Sheviskel is a word that means a glutton. A glutton. So he was saying, who is this Yehuda ben Sheviskel who needs so much meat that I need to wait for his order to be filled? So pretty disparaging. The Gemara says, Azlu Amrle Rabbi Yehuda. So they told Rabbi Yehuda what had happened. Remember again, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel told Rabbi Yehuda what had happened. Shamte. Rabbi Yehuda excommunicated the guy. Now, why does he excommunicate him? So ultimately, again, remember Rashi says there, Shamte ki de ashkechon diminadim lekavod harav. So we'll say, when someone disparages a Talmid Chacham, that often is grounds for excommunication. So therefore, Allah Lamaisa, they excommunicated, Rabbi Yehuda excommunicated the guy. Okay, not only that, what happens? Amru, they said to him, Ragil Dikari Inshi Avdi. This guy, this same guy, he's always calling people Avadim. He's always calling everyone an Eved. So the Gemara says, Achriz Alei Da'avduhu. Not only that, Rav Yehuda had them announce that this guy is an Eved. Rabbi said, and this goes back to what we just said before, that called a posel, Bemumo posel. If you go disparaging or disqualifying every people, generally, you're disqualifying people with the very thing through which you are disqualified. So now this guy's excommunicated, and Rabbi Yehuda said, announce about him that he's an Eved. Since he goes around going ahead and announcing everyone else is Eved. So we'll say, so what happened? Now obviously this guy, Azal Hahu Azdamne Ledina Lekamed Rab Nachman. So this guy, we'll call him the guy, summoned Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel to a Din Torah, in front of Rav Nachman. Rabbi said, what was the Din Torah? What was it? It was a defamation suit, right? First of all, you excommunicated me. Now you call me an Eved. So he calls him to a Din Torah before Rav Nachman. Okay, so now, I see Piska Dazmana. Also, Rabbi Yehuda Kamed Rav Huna. So now watch this. Rabbi Yehuda, remember, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, who was summoned to Beis Din, brings the Hazmana, brings the summons to Rav Huna. And Rabbi Yehuda says like this, Amrlei, Ezel or Lo Ezel? Do I have to show up for this hazmona? So Rav Yehuda was asking, do I have to show up to the Beis Din of Rav Nachman or not? So Rav Huna responded, Amrlei, Mezel lo mi baylach lemezel, mishum de gavra rabat. Now, both say, the truth is, Rav Yehuda was a higher ranking sage than Rav Nachman. So technically speaking, he did not have to show up at the Beis Din of Rav Nachman. That's the way this works. If you're going to summon a Rav, you're going to summon, right, a Gadol to a Beis Din. You can, but it has to be a Beis Din then of higher standing than him. So Rav Huna says to Rav Yehuda, technically speaking, you don't have to answer the Hazmona. However, Elam Yishum Yikra de Benesia Kumzil. Rav Nachman Rabosei was the son-in-law of the Resh Galusa, the head of Babylonian Jewry, and therefore, again, it's a good idea to go. I'll cover to the Resh Galusa. Fine. So therefore, again, I will say, Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel is going to show up at the Beis Din of Rav Nachman. So Asa Ashkechei. So I will say, so Rav Yehuda shows up, right? And what happens before he gets to Beis Din? Ashkechei de Ka'avin Meka. So what happens? He finds Rav Nachman constructing a fence. Amar Lei. So he says to Rav Nachman. This is Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel says to Rav Nachman. Remember again. Rav Yehuda has been summoned to the Beis Din of Rav Nachman. So Rav Yehuda shows up. He sees Rav Nachman doing labor. Amar Leilo, Savar Leimar, Lahadam Rav Huna Bar Idi, Amar Shmuel, Kevan Shenismana Adam Parnas Alatzibor, Aser Basias Malacha Bifnei Shlosha. They will say, once a person is appointed to a leadership position in the community, they're not supposed to do any type of physical labor in the presence of three people. They're supposed to say, it's considered to be demeaning for a leader to do menial labor. I tried this with my wife once. It didn't work. So the Maisa, she told me I'm not so important. So the Gemara says, Amrlei, Purta digundraisahu dekavino. So Nachman said, I'm only doing, it's only a little bit of work. In other words, essentially he said, I'm only repairing a little piece of the fence. Amar lei. So listen to this. Rabbi says, so here's the chap. So now there's two things happening over here. So firstly, you're going to see in this exchange, what is really happening over here is Rabbi Yehuda is showing Rav Nachman that he was really out of his lane by summoning Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel to his Beis Din. So the way he does that, that's the point. You're going to see a series of pieces in this exchange. So first of all, he says, Rav Nachman, why are you doing labor? Why are you doing work? You're a leader. You're a leader. And a leader is not supposed to do work publicly. To which Rav Nachman responds, I'm only repairing a very small part of the fence. Now he called the fence the Gunduraisa. So the Gemara says, Amalei, Misanya Make Dechsiv Ba'araisa O Mechita Dam Rabbanon. Why are you using that word for a fence? You're a leader. You're a Tam Tchacham. Either use the biblical word of Ma'ake or use the rabbinic word of Mechitza. What's Gunduraisa? So Amalei, Yosef Mar Akartifa. Akarfita. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel says, fine, Rav Nachman, would you like to sit down for a little bit on the karfita? Rabbi says, karfita is a bench. So Amrle umisani saf soldam rabbanon. Oh, it's tava do amri inshi. Why using that word? Why don't you speak in the proper way? Either saf sol or it's tava. Okay. Amrle lechol mar esronga. Would you like a little piece of esronga, which is esrog? Esrog. Amrle hakir mashmuel kala omer esronga tilsa beramas rucha. Whoever says the word esronga, that is a sign of arrogance. Oh, esrog kitikai rabbanon. Oh, esroga da amr inshi. Either call it an esrog or an esroga. Amrle lishti man imbiga. Would you like a drink of imbiga? Amrle misani ispargus kabi rabbanon. Oh, impak da amr inshi. Either call it ispargus, like the rabbis call it, or impak that people call it. Amrle. So we'll say so again. See, Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel giving Rav Nachman a bit of a hard time, showing Rav Nachman you don't even speak the right way, right? Your word choices aren't correct and not befitting someone. I was supposed to say, what Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel is also trying to highlight over here is that when a person is in a leadership position, it demands of them to talk a certain way. You conduct yourself a certain way, behave yourself a certain way, and you talk a certain way. Amalei. T.C. Donag Tashkin. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel, let my daughter Donag go ahead and bring us something to drink. Right? You're not allowed to use a woman. You're not allowed to use a woman. It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate for a woman to serve a man. Right? Again, just inappropriate. So Rav Nachman says, don't worry. Kitanehi. She's a young girl. Shmuel said explicitly, you do not make use of a woman, whether she's an adult or whether she's a minor, whether she's a child. There's just, again, there's a certain level of appropriateness and sneus. So fine. Nishte leimar shama liyalsa. So I'll say, so Rav Nachman says, Trabihuda bar Yecheskel, would you like to send regards to my wife Yalsa? Yalsa was Rav Nachman's wife. Do you want to send regards? Amalei hakei amar Shmuel, kol bi'isha erva. No, I can't talk to your wife because if she talks to me, it's kolisha. That was saying. Now, obviously, again, we're not getting into like halacha lemaisa. Obviously, it's not kolisha to speak to a woman. But if you look at Rashi says kol bishara. Last line, shneamar hishmiani as kolich vim eshal bishlama tishiveni. So we'll say, so it could be that Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel actually held that the voice of woman is Kalisha. Seemed to be a little bit impossible. It seemed to be over here more he's trying to give Rav Nachman just a hard time. Right? And he's trying to show Rav Nachman just in a nuanced way that halach, well, not such a nuanced way, right? That he's out of his league. He's out of his league. And ultimately, again, it was an overreach and an overstep and inappropriate for him to be mazmin, for him to ultimately, but I'll say, you know, it'd be like, imagine for a moment, like, right, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you have your Hataras Nedarim Beis Din, right? You got your three guys, you're feeling good, pretty good about yourself, right? You've just released a whole bunch of people from Nedarim. So you're like, does anyone have any other cases they would like to bring before this illustrious Beis Din over here, right? And you start being mazmin people, like, so there's a seder, there's an order. And great people have to go ahead and be treated in a certain way. To be clear, Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel is not above the law. No one is above the law. But when you're going to go ahead and summon someone to Beis Din, and they are one of the Gidolei Hadar, there's a mechanism for that. And this wasn't it.
So again, it's Kobi Shever, Efshai De Shaliach. So Rav Nachman says, okay, if you want, you can send regards to my wife through a Shaliach. I'm happy to convey your greetings to her. Amarle, Halkin, Rashul, Zashmul, Sarabo, say, Amadeis, Harashul, Inshalin, the Isha, Bishalin, Isha. Ultimately, again, you just can't go ahead and inquire about the welfare of a woman. Rabbi said, what does this mean? In general, there's a concept that a person is not supposed to just be chatty about someone else's wife. And that's the idea over here, that there's a certain modicum of tznius when it comes to someone else's wife, that even just inquiring about the welfare may be a breach in tznius. Rabbi said, now obviously, a lot of this is also societal. Right, it's also societal. I don't think today, and anyone who's here speaking with someone, and you say, you know, please send my best to your wife, or how is your wife doing, that wouldn't be a breach of tznius. But again, but I will say, but there's a sensitivity. There's always, in general, there's always a sensitivity for how, again, we deal with mingling between the genders. I will say, person has to be careful, and a person has to set up gidarim, and a person has to have a level of awareness, because we know, unfortunately, it happens all the time, where even, again, things that start out as innocent could very easily descend into the realm of inappropriate. So therefore, again, there are gidarim. Ultimately, again, there are boundaries. So the Gemara says, Ayde Baila. So Amar Lei, Hakir Mashmuel, In Sholim, Bisholim, Isha Klal. Again, in general, don't inquire about the welfare of someone else's wife. The idea is also, so once again, Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel is being a bit more stark over here in order to convey a point. But I will say, but this is important. This is very important about the way we interact with the opposite sex. There always have to be gidarin. There always has to be a certain framework of kiddusha and tara. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, good. So shalchai d'vissitzorosi. Now watch this. Now apparently Yalsa, Rav Nachman's wife was hearing this whole thing. So she says to him. So Yalsa calls Rav Nachman to the side and she says, Shirli tagrei. Get rid of this guy. In other words, whatever he came to you for, right? Deal with it. She's saying this, Rav Nachman, deal with it, because obviously whatever's going on over here, he's intent on making you look foolish. So ask him why he's here, deal with it, and then send him on his way. He'll say, by the way, the power of a good wife. Right? See, because apparently, again, Rav Nachman was just going to be like, whatever he's supposed to say, sometimes a man doesn't realize that sometimes a wife will say something upsetting or offensive and a husband will get upset or offended. But in a good marriage, sometimes it's important to understand that even when a wife says something that's upsetting or offensive, sometimes what she's really doing is looking out for my own good. And sometimes she's able to see things that are helpful and beneficial to me that I can't see myself. Sometimes I'm offended when she says it. I'm upset because with me, I've got this under control. But a lot of times I don't. And her words could ultimately be a lifesaver. So here, Yalsa's watching her husband go at this. He's not going at it. She's watching her husband be deconstructed. But Yehuda Bar Yecheskel goes, listen, find out why he's here. Give him what he needs and send him on his way. So I'm like, my shiate demar hocha. So Rav Nachman says, Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, what brings you? Tell me, so nice of you to stop by. Right? What brings you? Amar lei, taska da hazmanasa. Asher demar ba'as right. What brings me? You summoned me to Beis Din. Amar lei, hashta shusa demar lo gamirna. Taska da hazmanusa mishadrana lamar. So Rav Nachman says, Rabbi Yehuda, I don't even know how to speak correctly in your presence. You think I would summon you to my Beis Din? So apik diska da hazmanusa mi bechadje. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel takes out the hazmanah, takes out the summons. Amar lei, hagavra, b'hadiska. The man is here, and here's the document. So we'll say, so the Marsha points out over here, either Rav Nachman forgot about it, or it was also possible Rav Nachman ran a Beis Din. He might have been the Av Beis Din. Just because he's Av Beis Din doesn't mean that he was in charge of every single hazmanah. So it is possible that the Beis Din of Rav Nachman summoned Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel and Rav Nachman was unaware of it. That is possible. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Amar lei, hol v'asr ma halahacha, l'shtayim mile ki heichidu lo lemre mechanti rabbanan ha'adadi. So Rav Nachman says, essentially this, Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, the truth is, I would have never summoned you to my Beis Din. But now, once you're here, let's adjudicate the case, right? Because otherwise, what's going to happen? People are going to say, oh, you see,
the rabbis, they give each other a pass. Right? It's like a boys' club, right? They take care of each other. So in order to avoid that, if you're already here and you already received the hazmana, let's adjudicate the case. Amrle, my time is shamte marlahu gavra. So let's go back. So now they go through the case. So remember again, how did this whole thing start? Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel went ahead and excommunicated the guy who spoke disparagingly about him in the butcher shop, right? He called Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel, Yehuda bar Sheviskel. Called him a glon. So again, he excommunicated him. So I asked Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yehuda, why did you excommunicate him? Tzir shlicha d'rabanan. Because again, he mistreated a shaliach of a Talmud Chacham. In other words, he disparaged me in the presence of my shaliach. So he mistreated the shaliach. So Rav Nachman says, but 1 second, v'nag deimar, why didn't you just have him flogged? In other words, why did you excommunicate him? Why don't you give him lashes? Rav man giramad etzar shulcha d'rabanan. Rav used to give lashes for anyone who would treat the shaliach of a Talmud Chacham disparagingly. To which Rav Yehuda responded, "Da'avdif mine avdilei." No, I felt he had to be dealt with in a more stringent fashion. Okay, my time achriz marale da'avdor. We'll say first wide line. Why did you announce about him that he's an eved, that he's a slave? So the Gemara says, "Amrale deragel dekari inchi avdi," because this guy went around calling everyone an eved. Betani, and we learned, "Kolaposel pasel." Amr Shmuel b'mumo posel, because we learned, we'll say anyone who apostles everyone else is himself apostle. He doesn't see the good in the world at all. And Shmuel said, not only is he apostle, but the very thing he says about everyone else is the very thing that is broken inside of him. We will say, once again, that same yisod, it's so important. We will say, it's a fascinating exercise to engage in. Baal Shem Tov's exercise, is when you get upset and you see something broken in someone else, pause and ask, is that broken inside of me? Is this person my mirror? You see something bad in the world, right? Ultimately, again, is that my mirror? Is there something negative that I'm seeing reflected? Is there something negative in myself that I'm seeing reflected back at me from what I see in the behavior of others or what I see in the world in general? So the Gemara says, Eim Adam or Shmuel. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel says, listen, says Mefor Shaloko. Shmuel says, anyone who passes everyone else himself is apostle, and the thing that he passes everyone else with is the very thing that he himself is apostle with. So therefore, I announce that he's an Eved. So Rabbi Nachman said, 1 second, Eim Adam or Shmuel, Lamei Choshlei, Lachruzi Alei Mi Omer. So now Rabbi Nachman said, listen, I know that Shmuel said this, but like, maybe, did Shmuel actually mean that you should make an announcement about the guy that he's an Eved? Maybe Shmuel meant to say, you have to be Choshesh. Hey, you have to be Choshesh. It's possible that this guy is an Eved. But did Shmuel actually mean to say that Aloha Lamaisa, again, you have to announce that he's an Eved? Okay, as well as what happened. So Adahaki Bahaki, listen to this. Adahaki Bahaki, Asahu Beidina Minardai. So this is what happened. While they were having this out, the litigant, the other guy, the butcher shop guy, walked into the Beis Din. Amarle Hahu Bar Dine. Let's say, by the way, I also just want to point out, it is interesting to note that sometimes the worst breaches of midos happens in stores when people have to wait online, right? It is an interesting idea, right? People lose it. They lose it in like dramatic ways. They lose it with other people, and then the cashier often gets the brunt of all of this. And meanwhile, like, you're not the only person in the store. There are other people, and they may have gotten to the line ahead of you, and people don't always act as quickly as you want them to act or do exactly as well. You're in a rush. That's your problem. That's not the rest of the world's problem. That is an aside. So Gemara says, what happens? So the guy, the butcher shop guy shows up, and again, Rav Nachman is going through this whole thing, and the guy is incensed. He says, can you believe the chutzpah? Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel called me an Eved. I myself trace my lineage to the Chashmonaim, to the Hasmonean line, right? Amrale. So this is Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel says, huh? Chashmonaim, is it right? Interesting. You know, by the way, Amr Shmuel, Haki Amr Shmuel, called the Amr Mibes Chashmonai Kasina Avdahu. You know, by the way, that anyone who goes ahead and traces themselves back to the Chashmonai family is an Eved. Is an Eved. Right? They will say, is an Eved. Right? So again, so I'll say, so just find out what's happened over here, right? So the guy comes along, right? And the guy says, Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel called me an Eved. A chutzpah, Eved! I am royalty. I am royalty. So Rabbi Yehuda quotes Shmuel, who says, by the way, anyone who says that he's from the house of the Chashmonaim is an Eved. Now, we'll say, Amrali, so Rav Nachman hears this, and he says as follows, Amrali, lo savar lamar lahad amrali abba amrav huna amrav, kol tam tchacham shemora halachu ba, im kodem maisa amra, shomen lo, ve im lav in shomen lo. So we'll say, now listen to this. Now, what happened in the midst of all this? So in general, the halacha is like this. No one ever heard this halacha of Shmuel before. So I will say, in general, when you introduce a new halacha that no one ever heard before, if you introduce it in the middle of a situation that benefits you, we don't listen to you. Which makes sense because, oh, now suddenly you found the new halacha. I mean, people do this all the time, right? I found the new halacha, right? What's the source? Don't worry about it. But right, it's Sinai. I got it directly from Sinai. Right, so when you introduce new information that no one ever had before, then halacha, in the situation, we don't believe you. But if you introduce it, unless you have independent corroboration, if you introduce it before and it's established, then you can introduce it in this context as well. So both sides. See, here's the problem. Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel just introduced this halacha from Shmuel that said, if you go ahead and you claim that you're from the Chashmonai family, you're an Eved. So no one ever heard this before. So Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel says, Amrale, ha'ikar Rav Masna tekai kavasi. Rav Masna holds like me. Ask Rav Masna. Ask Rav Masna, he'll corroborate it. We'll say, get ready for this. Rav Masna lo chazi l'narda tlesar shani. So we'll say, Rav Nachman had not come to Narda. He had not been in Narda for 13 years. Ha'o yoma asa. That day, who shows up in Narda? Rav Masna. Amar lei. So they said to Rav Masna, wait one second. Dechir mar my amar Shmuel ki kai chad de kara aguda v'chad de kara b'mavra. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel says to Ramasta, do you remember what Shmuel said that day when he had one leg on the ground on land and one leg in the ferry? I'll say, I can't remember yesterday, right? Like, you remember what Shmuel said that day? I'm like, yeah, sure. Amar lei amar Shmuel called amar midveis chashmona imalko kasino avdahu. Yeah, Shmuel, that day, sure. Shmuel said, whoever said they are a descendant from the Chashmonaim is an Eved. Why? Because remember, I'm going to say a little bit of background. There was a slave of the Chashmonaim family by the name of Hordus, by the name of Herod. Herod wiped out the entire Chashmonai family, and then asserted himself ultimately again as a member of the royal line. He spared the life of one girl, of one woman who he wanted to marry. This girl went ahead and went up to the roof, and she called out. She said, I am the last surviving member of the Chashmonai family. After me, whoever claims that they are a member of the Chashmonaim, ultimately they're really a slave. And with that, she threw herself down to her death. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, and she says, called the Amar Miris Chashmonai on Avdahu, Nafla Meigra Umisa. So I will say, so sure enough, again, there was now independent corroboration, ultimately, again, of this statement of Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel. So I will say, after all this, Achros Alav De Avdahu. So now I will say, not only did Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel announce that this guy was an Eved, but what else? Rav Nachman's Beis Din now also put out an official proclamation, this guy is an Eved. So the Gemara says, Hahu Yoma, listen to this. This is incredible. Hahu Yoma, Akaran Kamak Suvasa Ben Arda. The Rebbe says, now Nebuch, this is actually tragic. This guy had married children. Well, the problem is, after it got out that what? That he was an Eved, so obviously many people, it affected all of the marriages of his children. The Rebbe says, such a profound idea, once again, who we are and what we are, and the type of personalities we create for ourselves, or we'll say there are generational ripple effects. What we do, how we live, how we conduct ourselves is not just limited to us, but ultimately, again, it finds these ripple effects in our children's lives, our children's married lives as well. So Nebuch, many marriages were broken as a result of this event. So Kika Nathika, so we'll say, now watch this. Let's finish up. We'll say ki kanafik. So we'll say now what's happening over here is Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel is leaving the Beis Din of Rav Nachman. Nafki abasrei lemirgame. The townspeople were ready to stone Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel. Now we'll say now why? Because understand, it wasn't just about butcher shop guy. Right, butcher shop guy, right, he's done. But now remember again, butcher shop guy who knows how many kids he had, right? So all of those kids' marriages are impacted, grandchildren, and again, scandal, as they say, right? Scandal, right? This is big stuff. So listen, watch this. Now, Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel was a force to be reckoned with. So look what he says. Amar le, ishasiku shasiku. Here's my suggestion to you. Close your mouths. If you close your mouths, I'll go home in peace and leave you guys alone. The ilo, but if not, maglina aleichu, I'll reveal other genealogical issues within Narda. Hada amr Shmuel, tartin zarisa ika ben Narda. There are two strings of family, two familial lines in Narda. Chada mikra de Bei Yona, one of them are called the Yona family, the Chada mikra de Bei Orvasi, and one of them is the Raven family. And I both said the truth is, those aren't their actual names, the Marshal says, because otherwise, he's revealing it right now. But he's saying one of them is the Yona family, one of them is the Raven family. Visimarech, right? And ultimately, what's the simen? Tame, tahar. The Yona family, they're genealogically pure. The Raven family, impure. So Gemara says, at that point, he says, listen, guys, here's the deal. I got more on you, right? I have more genealogical information about the people of Narda. And you think you're in trouble now? Wait until I reveal this information. So we'll say, what do they do with their stones? Shajua lahu rigma meyadayu veka'atma benar malka. So we'll say, they took their stones, and ultimately, again, they threw it into Nar Malka. And we'll say, just to show you how many stones there were, they stopped up River Malka River. In other words, they were ready to rain down. This is going to be shock and awe upon Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel. But once he went ahead and he said, I've got a lot on you guys, he said, you know what? Let's let him go. Now, Bosse, we're going to stop over here for today. A lot to, by Bosse, next couple of days, incredible and overwhelming, beautiful Gemara. Now, you know, Bosse, there's also what to talk about with this because there's further discussions in general about the need to discover genealogical impurities or kind of do we just let things go. So we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. We'll say, incredible beginning of the week. Tremendous Shkoyach. Have a great day. All right, Chavron Zoom, Shkoyach, everyone. Have a great day.